want to start?
So we're here this morning with Andrea Shera. This is Priscilla Friesen. And this is the next in our series of It's More Than Words. Andrea, here we are kind of at the right after the funeral of Mrs. Bowen, which was last week. I wonder if you'd like to begin with what your experience has been with Dr. Bowen.
If you say Mrs. Bowen's name and then immediately comes to mind Dr. Bowen's name, they're linked together in many ways. I think the death of Mrs. Bowen somehow brings us easily back to the beginning of knowing the Bowen family. And, of course, most of us met Dr. Bowen way before we met Mrs. Bowen. But Mrs. Bowen soon became a mighty force in all of our lives who were attached in one way or another to Dr. Bowen. So today I wanted to really speak to the attachment that is beyond words when you find someone who is what I would call just a kind of a steady presence, a steady person who intrigues you in one way or another, throws you off in one way or another, and ends up making you think for yourself or making you function a bit better, and you notice that. And this has nothing to do with words, really, but they're words that are all around it. So I first met Dr. Bowen, it was 1976, and at that time I was a young woman, basically divorced, two young children, two brothers with psychiatric diagnoses. My grandfather, who was a very kind of aggravated man in his 80s, who had lost his wife. I was divorced, poor, and had gone through the deaths of my mother and father and all my grandparents except for this, my grandfather, Mar. So it was very remarkable that I had absolutely no idea what I had lost in the cutoff with all the other family members. And there I was, just sort of hanging out on a limb, working in a psychiatric hospital trying to figure out what happened to my brother so possibly this would not happen to my children or to myself. And I met Dr. Bowen. I'd read his papers, and I knew that he was so far away from anything where regular psychiatry was. He apparently wasn't into labeling. I don't know how he ever got paid by insurance companies. You know, he was into talking to people about what their issues were and not sending that secret message with a label to the insurance companies. So that was the first really very, very remarkable thing, that he would see the higher functioning people in the family. And again, I never knew how he got paid by insurance companies, and I couldn't understand how we could call this mental health. But I was very intrigued with his ability to be so different, even in his family. And the paper that he wrote, Differentiation, that was the anonymous paper originally, was a compelling read for me. He was a tricky guy when I first met him. And he asked me the tricky question. He wanted me to show him the way backstage. You show me the way backstage.
Okay.
I'll get halfway down the hall, and he turns and says, I want you to tell me what you think I should say. You're from Virginia Beach. You know these people. What should I say? And I'm like, Dr. Bowen, I've read your papers, and I just think you should say what you want to say, because people are not going to get where you're coming from, wherever that is. And he just gave me that little twinkly smile, that little bonding moment, zing. And he turned around, went on stage, and talked about detwitching rats. He talked about universities without walls and things like that. And so I was really taken with his ability to be so separate from the expectations and the needs of other people, and to just put his own truth out there, knowing he was going to get rejected for it. I mean, people were here for the answer. And what was he giving them?
Right.
You know, theory 101. And so I found myself very intrigued, and I asked him, could I take a course where I could learn everything there is to know about families. I'm really intrigued. And he was like, what's your name? Wrote my name down. And the next thing you know, I got a little invitation to the postgraduate training. And I was certain that was an error because I had 2 years of college. So I called up the family center and said, there's been a terrible mistake here. How can I be accepted when I don't have... I told Dr. Bowen I was officially uneducated and I only had 2 years of college. Here he is putting me in the postgraduate training. Oh, no. Dr. Bowen wants you there. And so, one at the same time, I felt relieved, I felt honored, I felt seen or connected or something on that order. And I felt a mild fear that I was going to really be the odd person out. But I said, that doggone Dr. Bowen can be the odd person out. Maybe there's something to this. And so that began my stumbling and bumbling around into the family center and into getting to know Dr. Bowen as a person and through how he managed himself, how to live theory. Mm-hmm. Or how one person lived theory. And I mean, this is not to say the guy was perfect or I admired him as a perfect person. No, he smoked, he had high blood pressure, he was overweight. You know, he said very odd things to people all the time. He was slightly outrageous, and he was kind of dangerous in a way, you know, kind of like a big bear dangerous, you know, because you never knew what he might say to you. But I, because of my grandfather, I think, was used to these kinds of alpha males who stumbled and bumbled and might lose their temper at you and carry on and still loved you, you know, so I didn't mind that. I guess I was used to that kind of a man, and I felt confident in that I could have a relationship with him that would be useful. And so again, this emotional take on the other, and I want to point out that these are all my thoughts about it, and you never really know whose emotional state you're actually feeling. You know, I'm sensing that he is connected with me, but I don't really know that for sure. That's just my own emotional state. And in these kinds of fusions where you come together with another, you don't really know what's real and what's not real and what's your feelings and what is the other person's feelings and how you, you know, clarify all of that stuff. So it's a lot of the emotional part of relationships is very compelling, very deep, and way beyond words. So I'm trying in my own frail way to put a few words to this. The next step in the relationship is I'm accepted and I come to the postgraduate training. And of course I'm the odd person out. And then I notice that I'm sort of treated as the teacher's pet for some reason because I'm so odd. And the only reason I'm there is that Dr. Bowen has accepted me and I'm kind of a hippie looking with long hair and what have you. And And Dr. Bowen pays absolutely no attention to me as a special person or anything like that, but the staff and the faculty are looking at me and sort of talking to me, and one of the secretaries mentions that I'm the only person she's ever seen be at ease with talking to Dr. Bowen. And so, you know, I don't make much of this, and I can't say that I have a lot of recollections during those early days. Of how I interacted with Dr. Bowen. It wasn't a big deal. He made one big deal about the picture that I took of him in front of the family diagram, which he really liked, and he kind of made a big deal about that. And he did invite me to come to the Human Family Day and take pictures, and then afterwards we exchanged. I would take pictures, and then he allowed me to come to the monthly clinical series. So I didn't have to pay to come to the meetings or the clinical series. I worked in exchange. So we had kind of a 50-50 relationship there.
So let me just to kind of clarify the timing, because this would be also for the future if people look at this in the context of when things happened in the world of family therapy.
When did you actually meet Dr. Bowen? What year?
76. 1976.
And then you came to the training program?
In 76.
And then...
So I met him in the, like, May or something like that. And then I sent in my application in August, and I guess it was too late for me to come, or it started at the symposium. I don't remember which. But so I first came to that symposium when the director of the zoo, this woman...
Deborah Kleiman.
Yeah, Kleiman was the speaker and talked about monogamy and that we were not a very monogamous species. And I felt much better about my divorce. She talked about that. But yeah, that would have been the second year they were into. They had Jack Calhoun before that, and they had dropped off from family therapy.
When you actually came to the Bowen Center for the training program, you came 2 years, then started this more informal, reciprocal relationship where you were photographing. And when were you actually hired at the Bowen Center then?
That was 1980. So then I'd had 4 years of postgraduate training where I commuted from Virginia Beach to Washington. And then he hired me in June 1980.
As the audiovisual coordinator. For the Bowen Center itself, family center at the time.
Yes. And so then I asked my ex-husband, my relationship with him had improved dramatically over those 4 years, if he would like the children to come and live with him. Because my son was a senior in high school, my daughter a junior, and they did not want to move to Washington. And as my daughter said, and you have no house up there.
Slight problem.
Living with my cousin or going to live with my cousin until I could find a house. So it wasn't a stable environment for them either.
Right.
And Marty was, God bless him, was just thrilled that he could get a chance to live with the children. So then I moved up here in June, lived with my cousin. And I noticed when I first came into the family center as an employee that there was this tension, you know, which actually became bigger. When you first come in, there's the receptionist, and there are two people in an office, and then the front desk. So there are three people you have to deal with before I could go beyond them to get into my office. And I would feel this tension. And the only thing that I could think about was I have to figure out how to lower the tension. And so I lowered the tension by bringing in donuts and just talking about my life and who I was and what was going on and finding out about their lives. And again, this was to stay with the beyond words. I think the important thing I tried to focus on was that I needed to be able to relax and just be calm with people and let them see me for who I was rather than all the stories that were being told about me or the assumptions that were being made. And the one thing I recall from Dr. Bowen, this first thing was just don't be upset if people reject you. It's okay. It's okay if they're going to reject you, and you're going to still be a truth warrior. You're still going to tell your truth. And those were the two things that made the most sense coming from a sort of peace agree family. Peace at any price. You compromise. You give up your only daughter, in my grandparents' case, and you cut off from people in the family who are jerks. And even though you do it very nicely, you have nothing to do with them. And so this peace agree cut-off mentality, it was so pervasive, and I was trying to be a self. That was the greatest appeal. In Bowen theory, the second greatest appeal was that it was counter to the way mental health was going in the way that I saw diagnosing and doing people in and not relating to the strength and to the positive part of people. And Bowen had an incredible gift to be positive and see the positive in each person. And I really saw that as the way that I wanted to manifest. I wanted to be that. Mm-hmm. So.
So being positive and seeing the good didn't necessarily mean he didn't challenge the areas where you might be.
Yeah, you see the positive in the other person, and then you smack them when they're not doing things that seem reasonable to you. If they talk in a funny way, Bowen would smack you. He would always have some way of disrupting. That's what I came to call his way of being. He would ask questions that disrupted and tried to get at another process, something deeper, something more profound, something broader. So this disrupting would constantly go on. And maybe the next time we could talk about this as, you know, you're sort of resolved in a way to be able to tell your truth, to take a different position. And you're being asked to play your part in an emotional system. And if you don't do that, you're going to get rejected. And this happens to you at all these nonverbal levels. This is not words. And the bottom line, a person-to-person relationship is necessary for you to grow. And so how you manage that and how he managed that, I would just say he had the great capacity to constantly befuddle me. He'd come in my room and say, "Well, Pumpkin, I want you to come down here and talk to me." And so I'd go down there and I'd take my notebook and I'd think, "Oh, we're going to have some great truth." And he'd start talking about his Model T Ford working in the garage and things that that were important to him. Yeah. I'd be like, "Okay, I guess he wants to talk to me about his memories, about what happened to him at Menninger, about this, about that." Mm-hmm. And it's all about a person-to-person relationship. It wasn't about what he was going to teach me
in
words.
Right.
So the 2 points, people don't know what they're losing in the cutoff, which is what I was faced with in my family, which I'm still faced with, because it's always there. The point of whose emotionality are you experiencing in the relationship with the other? Is this, am I experiencing my own state or yours, or am I being overly influenced by you in order to give you what you need in this moment? Or am I trying to get you to give me what I need in this moment? So just theoretically trying to understand the emotional state that is created between two people and then how to separate out a more mature self. And in order to do any of that, you really physiologically have to be able to be centered in yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's just an ongoing issue. I'm still trying to learn how to be myself when people reject me, and I think that's probably the hardest thing for everybody, mm-hmm. that we can get folded up into this relationship system and not be able to see who we are or who the other person is. And to a great extent, I think that was what Dr. Bowen's relationship with me was all about. Who am I, and who are you, and what do you stand for? What are you willing to stand for?
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea, that sounds like a good place to end.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.